Hey, this is Eddie Spaghetti from the greatest rock and roll band in the world, the Supersuckers.
Hey, this is Joe from the Mises.
This is Adam Franklin from Slow Driver.
This is Artie Lang from the Howard Stern Show.
Hey, this is John from the Fed.
Hey, this is Rick Kubik, drummer from Natarose.
This is Josh Hayden from Spain.
Matt Sharp from The Rentals, and you are listening to...
And you're listening to the Dark Stuff Podcast.
And you're listening to the Dark Stuff Podcast.
The Dark Stuff Podcast.
Hello, 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 everyone. It's me, Dave Splash, from thedarkstuff.com and the Dark Stuff Podcast. I'm back with podcast 111. On this show, I interview Bill Sweet from the Maha Music Festival. For those of you unfamiliar with the Maha Music Festival, it's an annual music and arts festival that takes place in Omaha, Nebraska, every summer. This year, it's August 16th. The festival is in its sixth year. It's a really, really unique festival. It has a lot of great artists over the years. I've been going, well, I missed the first one, but I've been to every other one. In the past, I've seen great groups like Spoon, The Flaming Lips, Garbage, Connor Oberst, Bob Mould, Guided by Voices, Superchunk, Old 97s, Cursive, Modest Yahoo, The Faint, Dum Dum Girls, The Thermals, Matt and Kim, Jay Maskus, just to name a few. Always consistently great lineups. This year, no exception. The headliner is Death Cab for Cutie, and among the other groups playing is Head in the Heart, Local Natives, The Both, which is Amy Mann and Ted Leo, Doomtree, Radkey, The Envy Corps, and five or six other bands. There's two stages, and I don't want to spoil everything before we get into talking about it, but the reason why I wanted to talk about this particular festival is its uniqueness. It is a nonprofit. It's run by a board. It relies heavily on community involvement. There are a lot of local businesses that are sponsors that have a table there. There's a local poetry group that's going to be performing. There's a local comedy troupe. They're bringing in a national comedian to perform with them also, a guy named Josh Androsky. There's a whole lot of just great organizations that are a part of this festival. And by doing it that way, it allows it to be more of a kind of an intimate festival, if you can imagine such a thing. So it's not overwhelming you like a Coachella, where there's 100,000 people in 50 stages and you need a map to figure out where you're going, but you still get that level of talent at this festival. So like I said, Bill is one of the organizers of the festival, and we have a good talk here. And in between our discussion, I intersperse little bits of music from some of the groups that are playing this year. So I hope you enjoy this. Here it goes. Let's just get into it. This is my interview with Bill Sweet from the Maha Music Festival on the Dark Stuff Podcast.
No, Kiss Alive is one of the greatest albums ever made. And I know that people say, oh, well, it's not really totally done live in the concert. You know, they fixed it in the studio. So fucking what? Yeah. I didn't know that when I was 12.
I didn't know that.
I thought it was fucking great. And it doesn't really diminish from it now. It's still great, you know? I mean, I don't know. We're here. We're going to talk about the Maha Festival, which is... give me the date and the info on that for this year.
August 16th at Exarban Village, Denson Park. Gates open at noon. And last show goes on 10:30, I believe. And
the headliner's Death Cab for Cutie.
Death Cab for Cutie, Head in the Heart, Local Natives, The Both.
Amy Mann and Ted Leo.
Which is, yes. The Envy Corps from Des Moines. We have Radkey, which is a three-piece kind of punk rock band from St. Joe, Missouri. Okay. That have toured the world. I mean, you could look them up, and they were on the Jules Holland show over in England.
Nice.
Doomtree's playing from Minneapolis, which I'm really excited about. We got some great local acts. We have
Those all you just mentioned. That's on the main. There's two stages for people that don't know. There's the main stage, and then are all those are the groups you just mentioned. Were all main stage.
We have main stage and regional stage.
Right.
So
okay. There's two. It's not like one is so far away that it takes you a year to get to it.
Right.
And I mean, they're right next to each other, which is. I've never seen that in another festival, and I think that's a smart move. Whoever made that decision, that was a good decision, because one of the problems is sometimes you want to see a headliner and you don't want to leave because you don't want to, like, lose your spot or you don't want to walk a mile to the other stage or whatever, this way you could just turn your body to the left or the right and you could see both, you know, either stage when they're playing. So, and there's no conflicting shows, then there's no overlap is what I mean, I guess. So one band on one stage ends, this band 5 minutes later starts on the other stage, 10 minutes, whatever it is. So there's not this like, oh, I kind of want to see Doomtree, but that means I'm going to miss such and such. Like, that's what's different about this festival and why I think it runs so well, you know, in that sense.
No conflicts. You don't have to have a calendar to see your act. You're not going to miss 40 minutes of one show to catch the ending of another show. So, or an act. So that, and that's a nice feeling to have, where you're going to catch the whole thing. You're not going to miss anything.
Yeah. And who were the guys who initially founded the festival, and when was the first one?
Okay, so this is the sixth year.
Okay.
The four original board members were Mike Tuohy, Tyler Owen, Mike App, and Trey Bashir.
Are all four of them still involved to this day?
They are still involved to this day.
Okay.
They are, you know, the founding fathers of the Maha Music Festival. They have a lot of knowledge that all the new board members and the new people that are involved are trying to get from them. And
now you say board members, instead of, like, you know, just the guys who started it or the partners or whatever. Explain why this is different, because Maha, for those that don't know, again, is a nonprofit festival, but it's not like, you know, some people are like, oh, nonprofit, what it's like listening to a community radio station, right? It's like, it's nothing you really give a shit about. It's just, you know, but it's not. This is like a very, it's like, it could be a potential for a big, you know, alternative rock festival, but it's kept small and intimate in a way for a festival because of the fact that it's set up this way. Right? I mean,
well, it's also a lot about the community of Omaha, Nebraska. So we have, you know, we are a music festival. We also have a community village with a lot of area nonprofits. We have a Louder Than a Bomb tent the Globe tent, which has Louder Than a Bomb, which is local poets from Omaha, and also OK Party, which is a comedy troupe. So, I mean, it is a music festival, but it is also a lot about the Omaha community and building the Omaha community. And that's really what the four founders, or the four founding board members, had in mind, too.
That was their idea. That was the gist of it intentionally.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Now, over the years, you know, the bands that have been, the big bands that have played there, you're talking like Guided by Voices, Spoon, Superchunk, Garbage, Connor Oberst, or Dace of Parasitos. This year you've got Death Cab. It definitely has a decidedly sort of indie or alternative music bent. Is that an accurate assessment, and is that also intentional? Because, you know, you're not... I'll let you talk. I won't give my two cents on that.
Well, I think the people that are involved on a day-to-day basis are all in the indie scene, I guess, or alternative scene. So we all kind of have our input on what bands we would like, and they're all in that area. In that realm. I don't like to, you know...
No, I know. I do a radio show, and I hate even using the word indie.
I know. It's
like
it's...
I do, and... But, I mean, how else do you describe Bob Mould, who played last year, or Spoon, or Superchunk, or old 97s, or, well, they could, you could say, well, they're alt country, but they're still in that same basic realm, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's the way and you know, that's one of my biggest draws to it, because it's all the type of music I really like.
Bound, but in a language that you can't read just yet. You gotta spend some time, love. You gotta spend some time with me, and I know that you'll find love. I possess your heart.
I'm excited about our lineup. I think it really hits a lot of different areas of music. I think it hits hip-hop. I think it hits, you know, there's a great MC with Mean Streets. You get punk with Radke. You know, you get kind of a poppy music with Death Cab for Cutie, kind of indie pop. I'm not good at the labels,
right,
but you know what
right.
I mean?
No,
I think anybody who could come to this festival, whether they're a fan of the indie alternative crowd,
Def Cab is a big band, though. It's not.
They are
not
a big
say
band.
Say that they're just some underground, you know, group that nobody's heard of. I mean, they're a major group. They have gold records and stuff, and
right.
You know, they are a big band, and they will have a new album out, I'm assuming, before the festival. It's already June. Let's get going here on this new record. I mean, we've only got, you know, 2 months, but
my point is that I think anybody could come to this festival and hear something they're going to like.
Yeah. No, I agree. I totally agree. So everybody who works on the festival, who works there, is doing it on a volunteer basis, correct?
That is correct.
And that's, again, part of the whole aesthetic of that. I guess explain the idea behind wanting to have this all-volunteer force, and what's in it for the people who volunteer.
Well, that's all a part of the festival being a major part of the Omaha community. So the volunteers, slowly but surely throughout the last 6 years, have realized how great of a festival it is. I mean, they really, truly love it, and that's why they want to volunteer. You know, they get to be a part of the festival, which is the important thing. I think they get a t-shirt, and they get to go to the show and
right.
everything. But they're truly a part of, we feel, is something special for Omaha. And you know, what I get out of it is being a part of something that's very rewarding. It is a lot of work, and it's, you know, it starts to get more and more labor intensive as you get closer to the festival. But the day of, it's such a great and you know what it's like to watch the show and kind of see, you know, you're seeing your work, and it's played out in front of thousands of people.
You get there at 7:30 in the morning, which is when I was there last year, 7 or 7:30, and you just see the beginnings of it. And, you know, the stage was already set up, which was, it took hours. That was the day before.
2 days before.
2 days before. But, yeah, seeing it all put together and seeing it just, it flows and...
You know, it's also building, you know. So the first year it was down on the Lewis and Clark Landing,
right.
and it was down there for 2 years. Then it moved up to the Xarban Village due to flooding. I mean, now it's like, you know, you're really getting a part of, being a part of something really special. I mean, it's growing in size. The talent is getting better.
Oh, yeah.
The more people want to be involved. Our sponsors, there's more people that are, you know, calling and saying, hey, we want to be a part of the festival. We want to, you know, we would like to...
Now, how does that work with the sponsors? I mean, explain how that...
So we're a nonprofit, so we have to, you know, we have to go out and ask for sponsorships and they sponsor the stages. They sponsor VIP tents. We have, take for instance, this year, unsolicited MailChimp contacted us and said we'd like to sponsor something.
Really? I love MailChimp. I use them at work.
Well, there you go. So MailChimp calls. They want to sponsor something. And then all of a sudden, they're going to sponsor our bike tent. So anybody who rides a bike, we'll have a place you can lock it up. It'll be covered. MailChimp's going to hand out some free items and you know, so but that all that means a lot to us, you know. So that money is used to provide a better experience. Take for instance, like I noticed at Riot Fest, they had phone charging stations, so we looked into that for this year. We got a sponsor for it.
Not
so so you know, you go put your phone in a locker, you go have something to eat, you come back, and it's all charged up. So just a little miniature.
That's actually a pretty good idea. The one thing that it's probably not needed for something like for Maha, I don't think, because it's enough of inside of a city that it wouldn't be a problem. But what I've noticed, you know, when you get 15,000 people all in one place and they're all trying to use their phone, it taxes the towers and you lose signal almost. I mean, Chicago at Riot Fest, when you come inside the venue, no signal.
Right. Yeah.
I couldn't do anything. I couldn't. You know, I couldn't Instagram, I couldn't Facebook, you know. That that shit doesn't really matter, but I couldn't text my friends to, like, figure out where... I mean, I got nothing. So if they had invested in, or talked to Verizon or something about, hey, why don't you bring an extra thing in here, and we'll let you plug the shit out of yourself with pamphlets or, you know, whatever... You know, not a bad idea. But again, not an issue at Maha because it's so it's still inside the city and everything.
Right.
It's not really taxing anything. So so how do you guys select the artists that come on there? Because there have been some big headliners. I mean, Death Cab this year, Flaming Lips the year before. Was Guided by Voices or Modest Yahoo? Who was considered the headliner that year? Do you remember?
That was Modest Yahoo.
Right, okay. Modest Yahoo... I think Spoon was the headliner that other year, or was there someone after Spoon that year?
The Faint, I think, was it?
No, the Faint played before, I remember that.
Okay, then there was Spoon, so Spoon was the headliner.
Okay. So you've had some major acts over the years, and so how do you guys determine the lineup? What's that process like?
Well, we take into consideration what our fans want, the people that come to the show. So, as a part of Maha, you buy a ticket online, you enter your email, I think, you know, we solicit, you know, hey, do you want to be a part of a questionnaire? So we ask our fans, we ask people in the local music scene, you know, and then we go out and try to find the best fan best band that we think is gonna, you know, be the best for Omaha. And, you know, it'd be nice if we, you know, got someone who hasn't played here in a while, and we got someone who was on, you know, coming out with a new album.
Boys in the street are talking about leaving, they're leaving, looking for places to go. Boys in the street are talking about leaving, they're leaving, looking for places to go. Woo! Well, Andy built his coffin down in Carolina, told me he was running from something, but I think he's just out chasing girls.
What are the future goals for the festival? I mean, what do you guys... What are the ideas that are possibilities you'd like to see in the future that you aren't doing now? Because right now, like you say, or like I say and you say, it's a popular festival. The community seems to be very involved in it. We've got all these people clamoring to be sponsors and everything. Got a great spot now at Exarban Village. I mean, not only because it's just down the street from my house and I like that, but It's a cool way to have the two stages right there, and it's a big open park, and it's really nice, and it's a relatively new park. So what are you guys thinking for the future? What are there any changes that you'd like to see, or goals for the future?
Well, we always take into account what our fans want, or, you know, what the people that attend want, and a lot of people will say they want a two-day festival. A lot of people will say they want to camp somewhere. Those are two, you know, when I ask people, the two-day festival, the camping game, maybe not so much, but the two-day festival is what most people want. They want to be able to come on a Friday and a Saturday, or Saturday and Sunday, and see the same quality of music both days.
Is that something you guys are looking into?
Right now we're looking into August 16th. We're just concentrating.
You're focused on this year. I understand.
We're completely focused on this year. There was some way earlier in the year, there was some talk of possibly trying to do a one band the Friday night before, and we just didn't feel like we'd have everything in place to be able to do that. But it's in the back of our minds, I would say, for all the people on the board, and it's, you know, it's something that it's worth looking into, as long as we could do it right and make it a good fan experience, get the same level of talent that we usually get, you know, and we want to keep it the same ticket price, and you know what I mean? But
which, by the way, how much are tickets?
$50. $50. And there's some VIP packages that are available as well.
Which also gives you access to the VIP toilet area,
right,
which I have seen. Those are, in terms of porta potties, are the nicest porta potties I have ever seen in my entire life.
Well, that, you know, a lot of people ask about that. And this year we got a whole new trailer, which are much nicer than last year. So that truly is going to be a good experience. The VIP tent's nice. You get a nice view of the stage. You know, but I like to be right up front. Yeah. You know, mostly if I can. But
and now another thing that's great about that I like about Maha is, and I say it's decidedly smaller than your Riot Fest or Lollapalooza or Bonnaroo, where you're talking 40,000 people or something. I'm just guessing at those numbers. I don't really know how many was at Riot Fest, but I'd say at Riot Fest minimum 30,000-40,000 were there. It's chaos to me. I mean, I can't handle being around that many people. Now, that's just me. I'm slightly claustrophobic. I get weird in crowds, you know. That's not the normal festival goer. Is Maha, does it want to be sort of, keep it in a certain, I don't want to say, like intimate, it's an intimate festival, right? It's not so sprawling that you would need gigantic TV screens so that the people in the back can see what's going on. I mean, that's what I like about it, but then sometimes people are like, well, but really? That's all the people that go to it? You know, 6,000 people or whatever? But it's like, first of all, it seems like a lot, and the place is full, and it's not so, like, thick and, like, unenjoyable because there's just too, I mean...
Well, it's great for the fans because it's an intimate experience for them. You get to see, you know, an artist like Bob Mould. You could be 100 feet away and still get a great view. You know, you don't have the 12, 30,000 people, whatever, so you're standing way in back.
Right.
To get something to eat, it's a very short walk. To go to the bathroom, to get a drink, to get food, it's all within, you know, a very short distance. So it's very comfortable for the fan. Now, saying that, we are, you know, we're getting bigger. This year, we're going to close off 67th Street, which we didn't last year.
Okay.
So we're going to have a little bit more of a bigger footprint so we can move some stuff around and offer some, you know, some new amenities to the fans and stuff. So it's getting bigger, we realize. We still like Exarban Village and Stinson Park.
But the goal
Park.
Isn't to turn it into, like, a Bonnaroo level of, like, insanity where there's, you're talking, you know, 30, 40,000 people are coming down. Or, you know, Omaha couldn't support that, let's say. 15, 20,000 people, which is still crazy to me. I mean, I worked at Rockfest that the River did not too long ago. And, you know, there's 15,000 people there. That's an insane amount of people.
Where's that at?
That's at West Fair.
Okay. Well, I'd like to see it grow steadily over the next 5-6 years. Where, you know, I think a 10-12,000 festival within the next few years is realistic. Yeah, exactly. Well, you said I wrote it down. It won't say. It won't say. Well, now, this is my third year involved with Maha.
How'd you get involved in the first place?
Well, Ty Owen, who's a friend of mine, we went to high school together, asked me to participate in a production role. And the first year it was like showed up the day before and helped me, you know, point some things in the right direction. And then last year I had a little more responsibilities, and then this year... along with some other members of the board, we're running the production end. So we, you know, we coordinate stage and sound and light. We do the site plan for the whole park. Security, tents. I help coordinate Louder Than a Bomb and OK Party. production kind of is like, has a
well,
lot
it
of...
covers everything. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is the production, you know, right. Up until, except for selling people food and stuff like that. But yeah, and there's so many angles to it. It's funny because since I've been involved in these festivals and in shows with 1% and stuff, when I go to another festival, like when I was at Riot Fest, what was bugging me were that they weren't as organized as I felt like they should be. Like, it wasn't something that an average festival goer was, you know, thinking about. They were just thinking about, man, I got to push my way to the front. I got to see this show or whatever. I was like, why aren't they doing it this way? Why don't they bring something over here and then bring the, you know, and I'm thinking of it in terms of, like, being behind the scenes, which is probably not the best way to view it because you get kind of jaded that way and you can't just enjoy the experience. Like, during the Replacements, their VIP thing was like, okay, here's the center of the stage. The band is here. You know, the crowd is out this way. Well, it was all the way off to the side. So all I could see was a side angle. That was the VIP section.
Right, so you were getting, you know, probably a cheaper drink in the VIP area.
Yeah,
you
and I'm thinking, like, well, if they'd have done the VIP in this way, or if they'd have done this, you know, I'd have paid, you know, X amount of dollars more, because it would have been that much cooler, you know, whatever. And so it's like, I see that now, and it's like, I don't... But because Maha is run very well, especially last year, I mean, that was, like, smooth as hell for a festival. I mean, no delays, no... Everything went on time. I mean, that's like unheard of, you know. So it's difficult when you go someplace else and you see these other things that are not as well run. I guess.
Well, I went to Riot Fest in Denver, and I took away a lot of positive things. A lot of things that they did was kind of, you know, I didn't know how it would work out, but it worked out fine. Like, they had the stages all three in a row, like within a few hundred yards of each other. And they had bands playing at the same time. I didn't know, you know, like the music overlap, but it didn't really affect me. I mean, Iggy Pop was playing when the Rolling Stones started.
Rolling Stones?
Or excuse me, the Replacements. Yeah. Gosh, I'm
like
sorry.
Stones See, now those are the two that I wanted to see.
Well, yeah. So that was that. That's a disadvantage because we started at Iggy Pop, which was cool to see Mike Watt play bass, and then we looked over and. You know, there was a very small amount of people that were kind of getting ready for the Replacements. So I was like, we should get over there so we get a good space in line. So, or get a good space in front of the stage. So we stood in front of the Replacement stage and watched Iggy Pop from afar.
Well, and that was kind of my plan for Chicago was there's a stage over here with the Pixies. On this stage is AFI, but the Replacements are following AFI. But AFI ends, the Pixies go on over here, and then people are queue, you know, lining up for the Replacements. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm not going to see the Pixies. I guess I'm going to skip them. But, shit, it's an outdoor festival. It'll be loud enough. I'll just be able to sit here waiting and listen to the Pixies. But it wasn't. The way they had the PA, even though I could sort of see the lights from the stage, it was facing the other direction. I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah. Well, I took away some nice things from Riot Fest, but I really like the way our festival's set up. I just the fact that you could just stay in one place and catch, you know, great acts one right after another without having to go to several different stages is one of the benefits, one of the many benefits.
Okay, so let's run through the whole thing again. You can get tickets at mahamusicfestival.com, or how does that work?
Yes, yeah. mahamusicfestival.com.
And you're on Twitter?
Yeah, we're on all the major okay, social the major networks. Stuff. Twitter,
Facebook. It's Saturday, August 16th.
Correct.
At Stinson Park, Xarban Village in Omaha. Again, Maha Music Festival, Death Cab for Cutie is your main stage headliner, your big stage headliner.
We've got 12 great bands.
12 great bands. Head in the Heart. The other, go through the other bands.
Again. Well, I'll start off kind of. We've got Domestica, which is a Lincoln, Nebraska right. band. Matt Wipke.
Formerly known as Mercy Rule.
Right, Mercy Rule. Point. Okay, so Matt Wipke's playing.
Okay.
Who is fantastic live.
Great local singer-songwriter.
Great local singer-songwriter. Twinsmith is playing. Mean Streets. Doomtree. Radke, The Both, The Envy Corpse, Icky Blossoms. Very excited to see them. Head in the Heart and Death Cab. So what's great about this lineup is I've only seen a couple of the bands. I mean, so I've seen Death Cab, and I've seen Icky Blossoms, and I've seen Matt Wipke play. But
and it does integrate national and local slash regional bands, because you're talking about, you know, Icky Blossoms, Omaha band, Domestika, Lincoln. That's 40 minutes away. Envy Corps, Des Moines, it's 2 hours away. That's still regional, technically. And Icky Blossoms are like, they're considered a national act.
Oh, I would say
even
so.
Though they're, you know, they're, I mean, we consider them a local band because that's, you know, that's what they are to us. But
right, and we have the Globe again, which is a nice tent that has local poets, Louder Than a Bomb poets. And OK Party, which just confirmed their headliner, or their one of their comedians they're bringing in is Josh Androsky, which is a very funny guy.
I'll look him up.
Look him up. we have the Community Village, which is going to have several, I think it's 12 to 13 nonprofits that are going to be, it's a great forum for them to share their mission. They're all local. They're all about improving Nebraska. They're all about improving Omaha. So it's a great festival. It's a great festival if you're from Omaha, because you really get exposed to stuff you might not have been exposed to before. It's a great festival if you're out of Nebraska, which we've got people from all over that come in for this.
If people are listening to this from somewhere else and they're thinking they want to come in, can they find on the website, is there any information about places to stay if they're coming in from out of town?
Yeah, I know we did this last year, and I'd have to look in. I think there's a VIP package this year where you can buy a ticket, get a hotel room, and it's all inclusive. There's hotels within a half a mile of the venue.
Omaha's not so massive like Chicago or something, where if you have to cab it from somewhere else, it's not going to cost you $50 in a cab ride.
Or Uber or Lyft.
Yeah.
There's free parking. It's a really fan-friendly venue, so.
And my house is close by. just saying. It's near there.
Right. It's going to be a great day of music, and we look forward to all your podcast listeners to get out and buy tickets and come enjoy the show.
All right. It's only $50 for all those groups. If you lived in Chicago, you'd probably pay $50 just for Death Cab, and now you get all these other groups in addition. And both Ted Leo and Amy Mann have never toured together before. This is their first time.
Amy Mann's first time here, right?
That could be. I know Amy Mann was supposed to be here
with Till Tuesday.
With Till Tuesday, opening for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers in 1986, I believe. And I went to that show. I went to see the Heartbreakers. And when we got there, there were signs taped up all over the Civic Auditorium. Till Tuesday will not be performing tonight. In their place, the Red Rockers. And the Red Rockers played in their place.
Who's the Red Rockers?
I don't know. They were some kind of, I mean, I don't even think they probably had a record out. I mean, they got on a Tom Petty show, but it was, I was there to see Tom Petty, but I was disappointed that Till Tuesday wasn't there. So I've never seen Amy. I saw Ted Leo in Vegas at the Matador thing. He was all over that thing. I went to the Matador 21 festival that they had in Las Vegas a couple years ago.
Yeah, what's really great, too, is everybody has a... Last year and the year before, loves the act. I mean, like, last year especially, everybody was just crazy about Bob Mould.
Yeah.
This year, it's the both. It's everybody's like, how in the world did you get Amy Mann and Ted Leo? I mean, it's just... You know, a lot of people that I've talked to, they're also excited about all the other bands. But
it's unique. It's unique because they're not, I don't think anyone going to this festival can say, well, I already saw the both.
Yeah, no, they can't.
Yeah, they can't because they haven't seen them. I think they're just starting a tour now. So as we're recording this, so by the time of the festival, only a handful of people will have actually seen them. So, no, it's all in all a good package. I'm not on the radio, so I don't have to pretend that I'm not endorsing something, so I am actually endorsing the festival. I think people should go. It's only $50 for like that much talent, and it really is. If you've had negative festival experiences in the past, where you're just and you're thinking I'm over festivals, you get over that being over festivals, because MAA is different. It is it's just, it's a better vibe. It's just, I don't know how else to explain it, but...
The fans are very comfortable. The food is good. The short, there's short lines. The music is constant. It plays all day. It truly is a great fan experience.
All right, I think we can probably just leave it at that then. Well, thanks for doing the interview.
Well, thanks for having me.
Okay, so there it was. Have you made your decision? Are you buying your tickets? Are you already on your little computer clicking the buttons to MahaMusicFestival.com to buy a ticket? $50 for all those bands? Seriously, no matter what city you live in, I bet you it'd cost you $50 just to see Death Cab for Cutie. I'm just saying. On the next Dark Stuff podcast, my interview with Austin, Texas band Ringo Death Star. You are looking forward to it. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. This has been the Dark Stuff podcast.
Transfer of data is complete.